Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. In this series, Pastor Rick takes an in-depth look at God's provision for you, from His constant presence to His purpose for your life and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. In just a bit, we're going to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box, a beautifully adorned gold vegan leather box filled with multicolored, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards. It's perfect for filling your mind with God's Word. And you can take a sneak peek right now while you listen to today's broadcast just by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's teaching. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Learning to Trust God.
Now, repeatedly in Scripture, the Bible says God has promised to meet your needs, emotional needs, financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, relational needs, every need of your life. In fact, one of the Hebrew names of God in the Bible is Jehovah Jireh, which means, I am the God who provides for you. And over, God says, I will meet all your needs. One of the promises that He gives is in Philippians 4:19 that says this, my God will supply all that you need, circle that word all, from His glorious resources in Christ Jesus. Now that's a pretty blanket statement. He says, I'll meet all your needs. What does that include? Everything. Now, the problem is this. You look around and obviously not everybody's need is met. In reality, many times our needs seem to go unmet. What's the problem here? Is God lying? Is God exaggerating the point? Is He just saying something that sounds real nice but isn't true? Why is it that sometimes my needs seem to go unmet? Well, the Bible tells us that with every promise, there is a condition. There is a premise with every promise. And one of the conditions for this promise is you have to trust Him. And the more you trust God, the more God is able to meet needs in your life. The less you trust God, the fewer needs He is able to meet in your lives. The Bible says there is a faith factor involved. Matthew 9:29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life. It's according to your faith. It will be done unto you. You get to choose how many needs I meet in your life. It's according to your faith. The more you trust me, the more needs I can meet. The less you trust me, the fewer needs I can meet. Now, the obvious question then is, how can I learn to trust God more so He can meet all of my needs? How can I learn to have greater faith? Well, faith is an interesting substance. You don't get it by sitting in a Bible study group. You don't get it by just talking about it. You don't get it by just thinking and hoping and wishing. Faith is like a muscle, and that means it develops by being used. The more you use a muscle, the stronger it gets. The more you use the little faith that you've got, the more it gets stretched. And the more it gets stretched, the more God is able to bless your life. Now, we call the circumstances that God creates to stretch our faith, we call those things trials. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. And the Bible tells us that like fire, when the heat's on, it purifies gold and silver, that God tests our heart by putting us under the heat, under those fiery trials of life. Today, I want to look at four of the most common trials. Chances are you're in one of these tests right now. Whether you are or not, I guarantee you, over your life, you will go through these four tests over and over and over again. And when you go through them, you can know, this is an opportunity for me to develop my faith so I can trust God more, so He can bless my life more. What are these tests? The first test is the pressure test. The pressure test. And the pressure test asks the question, how will I handle stress? How will I handle stress? Will I depend on myself or will I depend on God? Will I turn to other things or will I turn to God? Psalm 50, verse 15. Let's read this verse aloud together. God says, I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. God says, I want you to turn to me when you're in trouble, not to other things. Now, do we do that? No, of course we don't do that. We usually have God about number 9 or 10 on the list. We turn to everything else first to relieve stress before we turn to God. And so he said, I know what I'll do. I'm all tense and nervous and stressed out by my problems. I'll call a friend and complain about my problems. So then you call a friend, you talk on the phone, and you complain about all the stress in your life, and you hang up, and you're still under stress. So you say, I know what I'll do. I'll make some nachos. And so you make some nachos, and you nuke them in the microwave, and you pull them out, and you eat them all, and when you're through, your tummy's full, but you still have the same problems, and you're still stressed. So I know what I'll do. I'll go shopping. I'll go shopping. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Or if you're a guy, you say, I know what I'll do. I'll sit down and watch a game on TV, or I'll go play golf, or I'll work out, or, you know, I'll do something. We all have our own little stress relievers. And long about in 9th or 10th place comes God. God says, I want you to turn to me. When you're under stress, this is a test. Now listen, you have legitimate needs in your life that need to be met. The problem is you get in a hurry. And when God doesn't instantly meet that need, you make up your own plan. And you try to meet your own needs yourself. And we do this all the time. We short circuit God's will, God's blessing in our lives by going for the quick fix, the cheap thrill, the instant hit, the quick relief that's temporary. It's just a little temporary fix. But we do it all the time. And we don't wait for God's will in our lives. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, My people have done two evils. They have, one, turned away from me, the spring of living water, and two, they've dug their own wells in which are broken wells that cannot hold water. Now imagine this. You're walking through the Sahara Desert for 2 days with no water and no shade. Your throat is parched. You're dying of thirst. Your tongue has grown thick. You think you're going to die if you don't get some water. And as you come up over a sand dune, after a couple days, you walk up and you see this roadside stand with a big neon sign and one of those arrows pointing down like in Reno that says, God's free, unlimited, everlasting, fulfilling, living water. But do you walk up and ask for a drink? No, you don't do that. You walk right on past it and you say to a guy standing there, can I borrow a shovel? And you start digging your own well. Because you're going to get your own water your way. Now, the even worse than this is we have the audacity to, as we're digging the well, ask God to bless our well. Have you ever done that? Oh, baby, have you done that? Yes, you have. You know what? You go out and you get into some relationship you know is wrong. And then you pray, oh, God, please bless this relationship. Okay? Or you go out and you buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. And you get overextended on credit and you get deeply in debt. And then you come back and say, oh, God, please bless my finances. I have this financial need. Who got that need there? You did. You tried to turn a desire into a need. And God hadn't promised to bless your desires. You got overextended with things you didn't need, and now you're saying, oh, God, please bless my finances. We do this all the time. Abraham was promised a baby who would be a son, who would be the father of a great nation. And as Abraham got older, nothing happened. And he had no kids. His wife Sarah was infertile, so he goes, I know what, I'm going to dig my own well. I'm going to make up my own plan. I'll take matters into my own hands. He says, I'll take Sarah, my wife's handmaiden, her servant girl, and I'll have a child through her. And Hagar got pregnant, had a baby. They named him Ishmael, a little boy. He holds him up, says, God, here's the miracle boy. And God says, that's your plan. That's the well you dug. I got a baby over here. His name's Isaac, and he's coming next year. How many times do we do this? We get in a hurry, we figure out our own plan to meet our needs, and then we ask God to bless that plan. God isn't going to do it. God is not going to bless that relationship that you just tried to force on God. And God is not going to bless all those other plans that you just tried to force on Him. Some of you right now are struggling with financial pressure in your life. And the temptation is to cut corners, to be unscrupulous, stop tithing, cheat on your taxes, do an unethical business deal, you know, anything to get out of debt. You're building a well that isn't going to hold water. Some of you right now have tremendous sexual tension and pressure in your life, and you think, I'm going to explode. I've got to have a mate. And even though God has been very, very clear and says sex is only for marriage, it's very clear in Scripture about this, you will come up with every kind of rationalization you can think of. Well, we're both Christians. We love each other, etc., etc. And you're digging a well that's going to break your heart. Count on it. God is not mocked. Some of you are under enormous emotional pressure. You don't turn to God. You reach for that bottle. And you're digging a well that's not going to hold any water. It's a quick fix. It doesn't solve the problem. What's the antidote? Look at the next verse. If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. This is a test. God is going to see when you're under stress, are you going to turn to Him? Are you going to turn to other things? It's a test. Will you trust Him?
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
In order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need to have His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, we'd like to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This beautiful gold vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated and inspiring scripture cards, along with well-designed blank cards for your personal notes and observations. This resource will help you memorize God's Word and will daily restore your sense of hope. The Verses of Hope Gold Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your living space. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift to support Daily Hope. Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And remember, when you sign up for convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. There's only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
Once again, here's Rick.
The second test is the people test. And the people test, God often uses people in your life to test and stretch and develop your faith. And this test is, how will I handle disappointment? How will I handle disappointment? Now, life is often disappointing because things don't turn out the way we plan them. Careers don't turn out the way you plan them. Marriages don't turn out the way you plan them. Plans don't turn out the way you plan them. The fact is, life is disappointing a lot of times, but the most disappointing thing in life are people. Now, why do we get disappointed by people? I'll tell you why. You get disappointed by people when you expect people to meet a need in your life that only God Himself can meet. When you turn to a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a friend and you expect them to meet all your needs, you are setting yourself up for massive, massive disappointment. God never intended for anybody. Nobody could possibly meet all your needs. And when they let you down, you go, what's wrong with you? Well, the problem was you. You put an expectation on them that they couldn't possibly fulfill. This is a test. So many of you have thought in the past, if only I could get married, then I would be fulfilled and satisfied. If only my wife or my husband would change, then all my problems would be solved. If only my children were different, like their children next door, you know, then I would be so contented. If only my parents, if I just had different parents, life would have been a whole lot grander. Let me tell you something. Your problem is not the people in your life. Your problem is your response to the people in your life. That's the problem. And people are not the problem, and guess what? They're not the answer to the problem either. The answer to your insecurity is not another person. The answer to your inferiority is not another person. The answer to your worries and your fears is not another person. The answer to your depression and despair and discouragement is not another person. The answer to your sense of failure is not another person. And the answer to your meaninglessness in life and lack of purpose and your boredom with life and your deep dissatisfaction is not another person. The answer is God. When you expect other people to be your savior, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. The Bible says this in Isaiah 2:22, you should stop trusting in people to save you, because people are only human. Don't expect a person to be the answer to all your problems. It's not going to happen. And if you do that, you're just going to set yourself up. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Stop expecting anyone or anything else to be your Savior. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made Him, not other people, Him, their hope and confidence. What happens if you do this? We'll look at God's promise. Isaiah 49:23b. Read it with me. Anyone who trusts in me will not be disappointed. You know why you're disappointed? Because you're trusting in other things besides God. You thought, this experience will make me happy, and it didn't, so you're disappointed. And you thought, this person in my life will meet my needs, but they didn't, and so now you're disappointed. Or you think, if I could just achieve this level of success and achievement, then I'll be happy and satisfied. And it didn't make you happy and satisfied, so you're disappointed. And this event and this person and this thing and this, if I just could buy this car, and then it disappointed you. Anytime you are disappointed, it is a warning light that you've trusted in something else for your happiness besides God. It's just a big red light that says, you got your values misplaced. The Bible says, anyone who trusts in me will not be disappointed. The third test is the persistence test of life. And the persistence test is this: will I keep my commitments? Will I keep my commitments? Now, life is about making commitments, folks. Your life is shaped by your commitments. Your character is developed by your commitments. Your influence, your success is influenced by your commitments. Your eternal destiny is determined by your commitments. So you better choose what you're committed to very carefully, because heaven and hell are in the balance. You become whatever you are committed to. The problem we have today is most people are half committed to 24 things instead of being totally committed to the one or two things in life that really matter for now and eternity. And that's a waste. Now, if you're going to develop any habit or any skill or any maturity for that matter in life, you got to learn to make and keep commitments. I mean, let's say you want to learn a musical instrument. You want to learn to play the piano. That's not automatic. You don't just sit down and all of a sudden it's instantaneous. To learn to play any instrument, develop a skill, it takes practice and more practice and more practice, which takes persistence, which takes discipline, which requires commitment. The hallmark of emotional and spiritual maturity is that you make and you keep wise commitments. The uncommitted person, there's a word for that person: selfish, immature. Immaturity shows itself in the inability to make and keep commitments. Now, some of you need to understand that no commitment that really matters is easy. They're all hard if they really are important. And so you can expect your commitment will be tested. Some of you are in the commitment test right now.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways. And here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's word, listen to God's word, and live God's word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Request yours by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And remember, when you sign up for the convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps share the hope of Christ with people around the world. There's only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.